Our next presenter is someone who has become special to Cornwall. New kid on the block, but not so new now. And that is Chris Pomfret, who is chair of the Isles, I'm making a hash of this other, Cornwall and Isles of Scilly Local Enterprise Partnership. And being an international marketeer will do a much better job of this than I am.
The public kiss, okay.
Good morning. I have two observations sitting there this morning. One, the idea that you're pink on the outside, you've got this sort of white bit all the way and then little pink letters. And the other is something I always thought was oxymoronic, like sharing a platform with a civil servant who was intentionally funny. I've shared many a platform with civil servants who are unintentionally funny. And that sort of makes it daunting, really, doesn't it? But it's an honour to be here and a pleasure to be here. And coincidentally, it's not all those other things that were mentioned earlier about Europe Day. It's almost exactly a year since I was appointed as chair of the Local Enterprise Partnership for Cornwall and the Isles of Scilly, which trips off the tongue almost as well as the two awards I'm going to have to present in a few minutes. And there's at least one person in this audience who appointed me to that job. So if you've got a problem after I've finished with it, she's sitting on this table here, okay? We've been around for about a year. I've been around about a year. The LEP itself has been around for about 9 months now. I should emphasise everybody other than me does it as a part-time job. I did it. I was recruited for 2 days a month, and I do about 60 hours a week. My wife has views on that, which I'm trying to address. But I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning just like Angus does. I don't dream of Angus. I dream of other things, but... I do wake up in a cold sweat sometimes thinking, Christ, have we done anything in the year we've been around? And there's people nodding in the audience clearly thinking we haven't. But we have. We've achieved, when I'm in a good state of mind, I look at what we've done. And we've achieved an enterprise zone for Cornwall, which I think was really, really important. Perhaps even more important is that we've now secured a fund called Skills for the Enterprise Zone, which is very, very clearly relevant to what we're talking about here today. We've also achieved quite a substantial amount of RGF funding, Growing Places funding, and one or two others. And one of our intentions is that you won't actually need to know about any of those funding, because the way forward, I think, for all of this is what we call hide the wiring. What I've found in my year doing this job is that when you go and talk to the business community, there are two or three continuing messages you hear. And one is, if I'd known now what I then knew, I wouldn't have bothered applying for this money. Because I went halfway down the track thinking it was RGF funding to be told, oh, no, it's not. You'd better look at a bit of European funding. You start again. You talk to a different person. It takes another 3 months. And then you say, oh, no, sorry, you're not relevant to that one either. You'd better go to this one. And it's our intent, both with the European money and the local money, to almost, it should be of no consequence to the person who's got a really great idea, who can do something that will materially change the wherewithal of Cornwall. It should be of no interest to you where the money comes from. The interest should be that you've got a powerful, good idea that's a business sensible idea, and then we'll help you get the money and we'll guide you through it. And that's a real objective I have, because I think it is one of the roles of an LEP is to challenge. And I sometimes get accused of being in the pocket of the council, and I used to use the example of Len Smith, who we beat up one day in a board meeting. But I would suggest that one of our major roles is challenge, and I'd pick on four things just quickly, then I will get to skills, Mark. One, we've challenged very, very hard on the rail franchise, because if there is something that is utterly critical to Cornwall, it is maintaining a very good strategic rail link to the rest of the world. But it's equally important that we get some control over the local railway network that could actually, if we get it working well, avoid lots of expenditure on road investment and other things. We've also been very material in influencing something that Philip Hammond thought of as a regional transport consortia for roads. And I think we alone have been instrumental in changing that now to likely to be a local transport consortium, which basically means all the money that will be spent on roads in Cornwall, other than those things defined as strategic roads, which is currently the A30 and the A38, will be down to Cornwall to decide where they spend the money. So not someone in Whitehall, but someone in Cornwall. And that direction is something that's happening to most of the funding, though I get told by a lot of people some of the skills funding could go that way a little bit more than it currently does, where the decisions are made by those who are best able to do it because they understand the local circumstances. We've also challenged bureaucracy. I'm now the vice chairman of the LMC, which is the local management committee that oversees European funding, and I sit on a thing called the CMG. That sentence is one I wouldn't have had a clue what I was talking about a year ago, and I'm still not sure I'm much better today. Because Angus mentioned the word audit, and one of the observations I would make as a businessman looking in, and I ought to say that my career is rightly was in marketing. I used to run Birdseye, so I am the original Captain Birdseye, and I used to worry about nematodes and things like that. Now, the only reason I put that bit in is that Mark Yeoman said to me earlier, I bet you a lot of money you can't get nematodes and fish fingers into your speech. To everybody else, Mark, that was coherent. But one of the things that I've mentioned is not letting everybody see the wiring. The other thing that I note about the European programmes is, my God, are they bureaucratic. And Mark used the word audit. And it's interesting. I come from the multinational that was called Unilever, and it's probably seen as the best audited multinational in the world. Its internal audit department is one that many governments around the world go to talk to know how to do it. You are not aware of being audited in Unilever. You do things because they're being done. All I hear about in the European programme is the audit. And the danger of that is that in avoiding that risk, you actually become risk averse and you don't invest the money in the things that might be transformational rather than simply incremental. So given the audience we've got here, that is a plea, Angus, I would throw to you. You can have absolute certainty about process without driving risk out of it. So let's go to today. Where are we today? For another reason, today is a special day for us because we finally publish our strategy as an LEP. It will be on the website, I think, when you leave this room, for one final consultation with the business community. We've talked to about 250 different people from the business community in putting together the strategy, and we want one final chance for people to read it and hopefully buy into it. And it's got four significant themes and a guiding principle. And underlying it all is economic growth. And that might be self-evident when you're one of the poorer counties in the country. When I say I challenge the core strategy of the council, would you believe the council's core strategy for planning doesn't mention the word jobs in it at all? So if I challenge it, you ought to challenge it. I did, and it was now slightly celebrated in the council chamber in front of about 60 people, say 60 councillors, of which you were there, weren't you, said, what do you all think about this document? And they all said, well, it's not very good. And I threw it down and said, well, I think it's complete crap. And it is. And we've challenged that, and I suggest you do the same. Planning is an important aspect, but the single thing that's come out in the year that I've been doing this job is skills. If you ask most people about what is the barrier to growth in Cornwall, it's skills that they come out with more. Some will say the road system. No, it's not. If you have a global aspiration, you can live with the road system. If you have a global aspiration, you can live with the railway. You probably wouldn't be able to live without Newquay Airport, but that's a whole other thing. The one thing people talk about is skills. And if we want the Cornwall to be the sort of aspirational place that actually stops being less developed, but finally is in its own right a great place, and we call it, if I find my notes, let's Cornwall and the Isles of Scilly, the natural place to grow great business. And we have a guiding principle in the strategy, which is the culture, communities and environment of Cornwall and the Isles of Scilly will remain special and different. So whilst we favour economic growth, it isn't at the cost of everything that makes Cornwall this very special place that we want to live in. And what happens is when you talk about skills, people say, well, we produce a lot of skills and then we haven't got any jobs for them, so they leave Cornwall. And then when I run an IT business and I want someone to come and work here, I can't get them in Cornwall, so I have to go outside Cornwall to get them. And that cannot be. That really cannot be. So one of the things I suppose I am proud of is, having heard that so often, I suggested to a few people if they could help, and two of them are sitting in this room, Mark Williams and Sue Brownlow and Dave Linnell and one or two others, to write me some papers on that. And the result of all of that was we've now set up a thing called the Employment and Skills Board. And their job is single-mindedly to write, as it were, a strategy for skills development that meets the market demand. Because what you heard from everybody is nobody knows what the demand is in the next 10 years. So even the supply side didn't take this as a criticism. They said, we just don't know. And what this now does is it brings the demand side and the supply side together, Gaynor Coley chairs it, and the idea is that can map out the sort of demands. If I illustrate that, when the Enterprise Zone was first announced, I happened to meet two people from colleges, and I won't mention which ones, and said, have you noticed we've got an Enterprise Zone and it's all going to be based around aerospace? Are you thinking about the opportunity for skills development in aerospace? And the answer was, basically, don't know what you're talking about. Now, Dave Linnell now is looking very seriously at Cornwall College, looking at developing aerospace skills that might be able to do it. Because one of the people that is likely to come to the Enterprise Zone, and we hope a couple will be announced in the next few weeks, almost all of the high-quality aerospace skills will have to come from outside Cornwall, because we're not training people in that way. So there's a very, very important aspect of skills that we feel is missing. Now, don't get me wrong, Cornwall works, is my observation. And it is an extremely admirable organisation. I say that as someone who tutors and tutors Essex Council. And they have a thing that says, Essex works. And they mean for the whole of it. Well, it doesn't. But Cornwall does. They also have an aspiration to be the best place in Great Britain to live and work. We have much the same aspiration. I think if we all other things are equal, we might win that one, don't you? But Cornwall works. What probably it lacks is to have the skills strategy alongside it that puts the context for what's going on, and that's what we hope and will try and do. My final comment, and then I'll get to the two awards, is about celebration, and it goes back to my comment about risk. Because if you don't celebrate success, and to some extent celebrate failure, if it was well done, you will not get transformational change. Because you'll end up with a culture of people being intimidated that if I step too big a step forward, I'm going to get somehow chastised or even sacked. Now, in my world of fast-moving consumer goods, 8 out of 10 new products launched throughout the world fail. And you hope that the two that succeed are going to be successful enough to bail you out for the 8 that failed. I can say this with a certain degree of confidence because I'm responsible for the second biggest failure in Unilever UK ever. The biggest was a Persil Automatic, which was relaunched. And this is a true story. Procter & Gamble wrote to Unilever and said, if you go ahead with the launch next week that we know you're going to go ahead with, we will show ladies' underwear on the television with holes in it, which is what will happen to that underwear if you use Persil Automatic with the formulation you've got. How they knew that? God only knows. Unilever said, we're going ahead. That is what they did. And 6 weeks later, that relaunch was cancelled. And if I told you that relaunch was something like £150 million, not to mention Unilever's second most powerful brand being destroyed into underwear with holes in it. Well, mine was nowhere near that big. I only spent £35 million. But I actually, interestingly, did not get chastised for it because we did exactly what we should do. It just, the consumer didn't buy it. So there's something about celebration that is an absolutely critical part of what we need to do in Cornwall if we're to see Cornwall grow. So it is an absolute delight to be part of something that is celebrating success.